happening, managing life for the glory of God. This morning, we're going to talk about managing generosity. Lord Jesus, we would ask that you would give us wisdom and insight as we hear your word. Your word speaks a great deal about giving, about money, how we're to manage it. And Lord, as we look into this series, our heart is, how do we manage our money, Lord? For your glory. For your glory. Knowing that you'll take care of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Just kind of a way to kind of keep things light, some things. By the way, when I was doing my study for this particular sermon, all my other files have about that much information. There is just scads of information regarding giving and our responsibility. And you know the reason why? It's not so that theologians can write about the fact that church people need to give more, because Scripture talks so much about it. I mean, so much about it. What you're going to hear out of this message today is just tons of Scripture, because God's Word speaks pretty clearly regarding that. But again, we want to keep it light, because God calls us to be a cheerful giver, to give cheerfully. And we do that in our congregation. You are wonderful at that. And so my hope this morning is you will be very encouraged as you go through that. Now, if you're here and you're a miser, the Lord's going to get a hold of you. All right? A joint checking account is never overdrawn by the wife. It's just underdeposited by her husband. Wouldn't you agree, ladies? Wouldn't you agree? Okay. Yeah. Look at that. He even got claps on that. All right. Well, that was, okay. All right, man. We got to work on that one, right? The safest way to double your money is to fold it in half and stick it in your pocket. Man, there's some wisdom to that, huh? Now this, ladies, is important. The most expensive vehicle to operate per mile is the shopping cart. Be very careful. Be very careful. Money isn't everything, but it sure keeps you in touch with the children. You know what I'm talking about. A dad is a man who has replaced the money in his wallet with pictures of his family. Wow, is that true? You know, in fact, it's kind of like, hey, Dad, do you have any money? They're already rifling through the wallet. But the joke is on my kids because I never do. So it's just not in there. We're living in a land of plenty. Everything costs plenty, doesn't it? $3.05 I pay for a gallon of gas. Don't even get me started. All right. Drive-in banks were established so most of the cars today could see their real owners. And so you just kind of go through, just say, wave on behalf of your car. Hey, thanks. And head on through. When you think no one cares you're alive, you're feeling alienated, depressed, alone, skip a couple car payments and you'll find out how much you're missed. All right? Objective. Every Christ follower this morning can manage their money for God's glory by embracing three truths. Truth number one, money is a gift from God. 1 Samuel 2, verses 7 through 8. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundation of the earth are the Lord's. Upon them he has set the world. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. God is the one that is in charge of our money. It's not our brilliance, although he uses it. And it's not our great skill, although he uses it. It is God's gift that he allows us to have money. 1 Chronicles 29:12. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all. Ecclesiastes 5:19. Moreover, when God gives any man wealth and possessions and enables him to enjoy them, to accept his lot and be happy in his work, this is a gift of God. So don't lose sight that the money that you have, whether it's a little, just enough to make ends meet, or you have a surplus of money, doesn't make you any better or less a person. What it does make you is a gifted person of God. God has given you a gift. And so the way we treat gifts, in fact, one of the things I loved about when we were in Africa, in fact, quite honestly, I got choked up and I couldn't do it, but the other team members, is we went to this school, like an elementary school, and they were actually giving uniforms out to the children. And I'm such a yeah, I'm just really, you know. So I'm like going, you know, I'm getting all choked up over there. But what they do is you hand them the pants and the shirt, and they're so great. On two hands, they do this. They like bow, and they accept the gift. And you see that, and you go, oh, how humble is that? Well, in kind of in a similar way, isn't that really how we should accept the gift of God when it talks about money? Instead of going, it's mine, I deserve it, I worked hard for that. Hey, listen, get cocky with God, we'll see who won't be working, right? But instead of going, thank you, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the gift. Thank you for the bountiful gift. Thank you for the excessive gift, whatever it may be. But my friends, in this country, don't lose sight that there is not a person in this room that is not filthy rich. Is there anybody in this room living on $1,200 a year? Please. Let's remember, it's a gift. It's a gift. So we give thanks to the giver of the gift. And we're grateful to the giver of the gift. And we're reminded that God is the one that provides for us financially. What a wonderful way that He has done. Not because we're better than other people in the world. I'm not sure why God has blessed this country. But I do know the blessing doesn't end with us. We'll talk about that next week. Truth number two. How you handle money is an indication of your heart for God. First off, we want to look at a key to your heart. Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Heart inspection is a good thing as a Christ follower. We need to examine our heart. We need to evaluate our heart. In fact, in this regard, it tells us where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. So if you want to see where you're at spiritually, open up your checkbook. Open your checkbook up first before you open up your Bible. And you're going to get a good glimpse. But you don't know, things have been tight. Please. Tight? Please. I remember the very first ministry opportunity Teresa and I had. We went to college, and after college I started graduate work because I thought the Lord wanted me to get a PhD and go teach philosophy at a university. I really thought that, and all of a sudden then He hijacked me and called me into ministry. And so I remember very excited, you're kind of chomping at the bit. You want to get out. You want to get into ministry. And so when that first church, which was a wonderful little Baptist church, invited me to be their youth pastor, and they offered me that whopping salary of $250 a week, I was excited. Now, little did I realize that rent was $150 a month, and then I had to pay my own health care, and then all the other issues, and there was very little money to work with. That was a whopping salary of $12,000 a year, thereabout. I don't know. It's the fireworks. We won't worry about that. But the point was simply this, that Therese and I learned a long time ago, if we gave last to God, we never had enough money. But if we gave first to God, we always had enough. It always seemed to work out. I'm not sure how that happened. In fact, Teresa's grandmother would send a check for no reason. Or her dad. Or my parents, or what? All of a sudden, it wasn't much, but it was enough. But it was always interesting when we would cut corners and go, well, we need to pay our bill, do all that stuff. What would happen? The car would break down. And I think a long time ago, the Lord taught me, John, if you're going to be in ministry, you need to model this thing. You give to me first. I'll take care of the details. And so we learned a lesson. And so what Therese and I have learned to do is to be as generous and to hold our finances as loose as possible. We've got to be very careful with that. And I would invite you to think in a similar way. Be very careful that you are not valuing your finances more than God. Because where your heart is, there will be your treasure as well. So where is your heart? That's where your money's at. Jesus nailed it some 2,000 years ago, right on the head. A second truth we want to look at here under the point about how to handle money is an indication of your heart for God is an uncanny trust. Look in Luke 21, 1 through 4 with me on the screen. As he looked up, Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. I tell you the truth, he said. This poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. So, my friends, you tell me, who gives more in God's economy when somebody is sitting on $100,000 in their bank and they give $10,000, or somebody who has no bank account and gives 10% of their income? And it may only be 20 bucks. I think you know the answer. See, we need to stop trusting in our abilities and in money and in our, you know, our culture, because we've bought into this. My value and significance is what level of money I make. That's not true. You can be dirt poor, half naked, and God loves you. Absolutely. For who you are. Not because of what you make. And so we learn the lesson here in uncanny trust, where this poor widow who does not have a husband to provide for her takes her last coins that she rubs together, equals about a cent. And as Jesus sees it, she throws it into the temple treasury. And Jesus said, my friends, you have just seen what genuine, real giving is all about. She didn't give out of her wealth. She gave not knowing where her next meal is coming from. Now that's giving. That's giving. A third observation is giving is a joyful privilege. We need to see the privilege to give to God's kingdom. Some of you might be thinking, oh man, you're just trying to work it. We need more money at Grace. Let me tell you this, my friends. God will provide for us. Whether you want to be a part of that or not, that's between you and God. God will provide for us. I'm not worried about that. I'm talking about giving to the kingdom of God. Giving to God's work. Because your heart is in the right place. I'm not trying to raise more money. You're very generous already. But how is our heart in relationship to give? Listen to this beautiful story. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of their most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Now, my friends, that makes no sense. Watch it. On one end, we've got a most severe trial. On the other end, their extreme poverty. And sandwiched between their extreme trial and their poverty is overflowing joy. These people got it. Listen how it goes on. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. My friends, the best thing that you can give this morning is not your cash, but your heart to God. My friends, money just simply isn't the issue. It's a heart issue. It always has been. And what we see as the Apostle Paul is bragging on the Macedonian churches is that they are going through a very difficult time, a famine, a great famine. People are starving. And they're dirt poor on top of it. And yet, they were overflowing in joy. Wow. Don't you want to overflow in joy? Don't get consumed by the culture. Don't get caught up in everything I got to have. Look at overflowing and joy of obedience. Entirely on their own, they said, "Oh, Paul, would you please let us help the saints in Jerusalem? We know they're struggling. We want to be a part of kingdom work. Paul, would you please let us help? We've got nothing, but we want to give our socks off." And they did. What an example for us, isn't it? What a joy. Truth number three, money must be managed for God's glory. Now, I'm going to kind of run through this quickly because there's 10 quick principles. Now, again, I tried to get creative. It may not have worked. But nonetheless, basically, for each of the points, the very first letter, you know, like the first one there is think. So, transfer. The very first letter is T. And if you go down the list of these 10, it will say think glory. See? Tricky. And so the whole goal here with these 10 principles is to help you think, how can you give God glory by your finances? So let's hit it. Number one, transfer ownership back to God. In 1 Chronicles 29:11, it says, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all." And then in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, "You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, transfer ownership back to God." H, honesty is top priority. Proverbs 10:2, "Ill-gotten treasures are of no value." Proverbs 13:11, "Dishonest money dwindles away." And then Proverbs 20:17, "Food gained by fraud tastes sweet to a man, but he ends up with a mouth full of gravel." Be honest. Don't cheat on your taxes. It's not worth it. And you're going, "But John, I've been getting away with it for years." It's not worth it. You don't want to walk away with a mouth full of gravel. I, invest in eternity. Matthew 6:19-20. "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal." And so, my friends, you know that when we give here, and this is one way, there's a variety of ways to give, but when you give to Grace, like I said before, do you realize that as a congregation, we are storing up treasures because of our impact in China and Tunisia and in the lives of missionaries and as we care for those people that are disadvantaged? Do you know that God keeps excellent, perfect books? And when we give to His kingdom work, we are making an investment in eternity. That's huge. What a privilege that is. It's so much bigger than us. N, navigate away from financial temptations. Proverbs 23:4, "Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint." Proverbs 28:20, "But one eager to get rich will not go unpunished." And then 1 Timothy 6:10, "For the love of money," not money. Money in itself is just paper. It's kind of cool paper. Right? It's, you know, fancy and it's got all that. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's all it is. So it's not money, ooh, that wad of bills, that's evil. No. It's our heart and how we view that wad of money. "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." Know what the Bible says about money. Psalm 119:14-16. "I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word." God's word, there are just massive amounts of passages and verses that speak regarding Scripture. My friends, the best textbook on learning how to handle your finances is simply the Word of God. It really is. It is profound and true. We need to know what it says. G, give to God first as your highest financial priority. Proverbs 3:9, "Honor the Lord with your wealth. 2 Corinthians 8:7. See that you also excel in this grace of giving. The Apostle Paul also told the Corinthians that as you set it aside, set money aside as you give to the Lord. And we do so because we give to God first. He will take care of the details. As I shared with you earlier, the example that Therese and I learned a long, long time ago. I remember there was a season in our time when the girls were young. They were all sick at one point or another. We had 14 different hospitals, doctors, and clinics that we had to pay. And I remember, you know, I wasn't making much money, but we said this, we will not compromise on our giving. God has laid it on our heart, and we're going to be faithful to it. So what we did, and some of you may chafe at this, but if you saw what I made, you'd understand. 7 doctors, hospitals, and clinics got paid $10 one month, and the next month, the other 7. And you know what God did? And we projected it was going to take us about 2.5 years to pay all that off. You know what God did? He allowed me opportunities to speak and to make some additional money. So you know what we did? We would give 20, 30, 40, 50% of that extra money. Hey, it wasn't in the budget. Woohoo! Right? We would give that to God's work. And then we took that other percent and we actually paid off all of our debt within about 14 months. But we didn't compromise on our giving. It would have been easy to say, well, you know, I don't want them chasing after me. Of course, we called everybody. Well, Teresa called everybody. And we set up arrangements and all that. But that was a part of what we were doing. Line your priorities with God's will. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Oh, operate as a cheerful giver. 1 Corinthians 9:7. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You know what this passage says? Don't get manipulated into giving. That's not how you should give. Don't give it reluctantly. Don't be hesitant. Don't be a miser. But don't give it also compulsively. In fact, in the month of December, Therese and I always get together and we pray through what the Lord wants us to give for the next year. And that's what we intention. We get that strategy right from this passage. Why? Because God loves a hilarious giver. The word cheerful there means hilarious. Ha ha ha! Yeah! I get to give to God's work. That's good stuff. And we want to be cheerful about that. Rely on God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. Proverbs 30, verses 7 through 9. 2 things I ask of you, O Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. See that balance? I don't want too much, but I don't want to have to be stealing either, Lord. And then we also see in Matthew 6, 25 through 27, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Isn't that really the question? God takes care of the birds. Are you not more valuable than they? And the answer is yes, you are. Not that birds aren't. They're wonderful. But we are much more valuable. And you know what it means? God will take care of you too. And me too. Who of you by worrying can add one single hour to his life? And then our last point is why? Yield to indebtedness. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. And then do not be a man who strikes hands in pledge or puts up security for debts. If you lack the means to pay, your very bed will be snatched from under you. I mean, I love God's word. Listen, man, if you're cutting all these deals, yeah, I'll help you out. And all of a sudden, you can't come through. Uh-oh. Be careful. Because you might not be sleeping in a bed tonight. Now, the nice thing about our country is we have laws to kind of help protect that, don't we? But the fact of the matter is this. We need to be good about yielding into indebtedness. We don't need to be enslaved by debt. Now, there is some debt that's good, but most debt, consumer debt, is enslaving. It's overwhelming. And we need to be freed from that. And I believe freed for God's honor and for His glory. So this morning, the question is, in your giving, do you bring honor and glory to God? Let's pray together. Father, we would ask that you would give us insight and wisdom, that your Holy Spirit would turn the light on our hearts. Father, we want to be a congregation that is transformed from the inside out because you are doing heart surgery, heart transformation in our lives. God, it's not about money. It's not about give more, give more, give more. It's about obedience to you with a heart that is full of joy and thanksgiving and gratitude. And Lord, you'll take care of the details. And for that, we eagerly trust you because you are awesome.